This morning, won't you take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, we'll begin reading at verse number 9. Let's stand, please. Acts chapter 27, verse number 9. Boy, good music always can set up some good preaching. Amen. Now, we know we have some good music. Now, y'all pray we have some good preaching. Acts chapter 27, verse number 9. Acts 27:9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And skip to verse number 41. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, I want you to notice what I've just read to you. Here in Acts chapter 27, we read about a great shipwreck. And the one thing I really want you to understand here this morning as we get into this message is that this shipwreck, listen to me this morning, church, this shipwreck did not have to take place. It did not have to happen. And the context of this passage, of course, is that Paul is a prisoner on a ship, and that ship is heading for Rome. And during the course of that trip, the weather turns bad, and the ship runs aground and it wrecks. But what I want us to see this morning is the same reasons, listen to me, the same reasons that this ship wrecked, they happen to be some of the same reasons that I see many people shipwreck their lives. And I want you to understand this ship can be a type of a church shipwrecking. It can be a type of just an individual shipwrecking your life. This morning, with God's help, I'm going to preach to you about reasons for a shipwrecked life. And tonight, with God's help, I'm going to preach to you about surviving a shipwreck. So if you may be heading for a shipwreck here this morning, I want to help you with that, to stop that. But if you've already wrecked your life, come back tonight. We're going to see how you can survive the shipwreck. And by the way, that's the good news. Everybody on this boat survived the shipwreck. But it did cost them something. Brother Dan, would you pray?
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord. We ask that God you bless and God help me with us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would heal the hearts and convict hearts of those that need to be saved. And God help us, Lord, as Christians. That God would, Lord, see ourselves as
yes.
He is.
Amen.
And God would get right with you this morning. Father, we ask.
Please.
Lord, to each heart.
Yes.
God may say, Lord, what needs to be said.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we ask that God you help us, Lord, as listeners. Father, we hear and take heed to the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask this morning, God, everything outside the walls of this room that God has, we forget about it.
Yes.
And Lord, we have our minds and our hearts upon what you
Amen. Amen.
Lord, just bless now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Number one, they wrecked this ship because they failed to heed the warning. Look there, verse number 9. Now, when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, notice what the Bible says. Paul admonished them. He warns them. Then in verse number 10, he said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." He says, look, if you continue this voyage, it's going to break up the ship. It's going to take the lading. That's the cargo. We're going to lose our supplies, and it's going to hurt some people. Now, he gives them warning, and he warns them. He says, don't do it. I'm warning you, you're heading for a shipwreck. Now, you know how you can get a warning of a shipwreck? You get a warning about a shipwreck, you can get it from your preacher. Every time you open up your Bible and read it for your quiet time, I know you're having quiet time. Amen? Okay. Sunday school lessons, parents, maybe it's a teacher. The lighthouse, by the way, does that for the ship. He sang about the lighthouse a while ago, and we joined in and sang. It was so beautiful. I enjoyed that song. It's a good song. I like the audience participating in that. But you know what that lighthouse does? It's going round and round saying, don't get too close. There's rocks out here. You're going to run your ship aground. You're going to ruin it. You're going to wreck. And I tell you, the first stage in wrecking your life and shipwrecking your life is to persistently and consistently ignore the warnings. Ignore the preaching. Put the preaching off on somebody else. Ignore what God's saying to you. Listen, when you come in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, there are times when you may feel like I'm preaching at you. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm just preaching what the Lord gives me. But maybe the Lord's preaching at you. Maybe the Holy Ghost is preaching at you because he wants to help you. Listen, God doesn't want you to wreck your life this morning. How many of you know that? And he'll use a preacher. Or maybe a preacher you turn on the radio right down the road. Or maybe a Sunday school lesson or whatever. Or a song. He'll use that to try to speak to you. Over and over and over and over. But I found that many Christians, they fail to heed to the warning. Sometimes they think the warning's got to be for somebody else. Or my wife was here to hear it. Or my son was here to hear it. Or my neighbor was here to hear it. No, you're here this morning. Why don't you hear it? Warning after warning after warning after warning. I know you like doctrine. I know you like to learn something new in the Bible. I know you like to study the Bible. That's great. That will not keep you from shipwrecking your life. What will keep you from shipwrecking your life and destroying your family and your marriage and your home is a preacher to get up here like I do every once in a while, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and warn you about it from the Bible. And you've got to listen to it and you've got to take it to heart and not dismiss it and say, well, it must be somebody else. No, I'm talking to you this morning because I want to help you. I don't want you to shipwreck your life, but you know where that thing begins? You know where it began for them? Oh, we ain't going to listen to him. He don't know nothing. And about a lot of things, I don't. But if I get God's, if I'm preaching to you something out of this book, he knows something. And he lays it on my heart after I prayed and worked and prayed and studied and worked on this thing all during the week. He lays it on my heart because he wants to help you. He's not giving me that stuff for me. I mean, obviously, I have to look at myself and get my own heart right before I can preach. That's the truth. But he does it because he loves you, Holy Hills. He's concerned about you. He cares about you. He don't want you to wreck your life. Sit up and take the admonishment. They should have listened to Paul. They would have not had to go through all that. To me, the worst thing when I study this story here, because all of us are going to go through hard times in life, ain't we? All of us are going to suffer in life, aren't we? But I don't want to suffer needlessly. Do you? I mean, if something just happens, it's out of my control, it happens. But I don't want to suffer needlessly. This whole thing, all these days and this emotional stress and the pain and the suffering and the wreckage and winding up on an island with a bunch of barbarians, all that stuff they went through, do you realize they went through all that stuff, they shipwrecked, and every single bit of it, listen to me this morning, every single bit of it that you read about in that book could have been avoided. But they did not want to adhere to the counsel. They did not want to listen to the warning, which is my second point. They did not adhere to godly counsel. There was a warning, and then there was counsel. And he told them, he said, this is going to be with much damage. But notice what they decided to do. Verse number 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. They adhere to ungodly counsel. Listen, if you're going to wreck your ship, if you're going to shipwreck your life, it's going to always start like this. God gives you warning. God warns you. He warns you and he warns you and you dismiss him. And not only then do you start dismissing his warnings, then you start listening to counsel that's no good. Because once you've decided I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, then you've got itching ears. Then you're open up to all kind of counsel at the water cooler. Like, just leave that man. Amen. Just leave that woman. I wouldn't put up with that. Or just one time won't hurt. Or you won't get caught. Here's my favorite. You deserve to be happy. Meaning you deserve to be happy and put everybody else through misery. You have to think about yourself. How about that one? Meaning think about yourself and nobody else. Everybody's doing it. Times have changed. That Bible is archaic and out of date. You start listening to that stuff. You start getting the world's philosophy and the world's advice. Just because you think a person might know more, maybe it's your professor, maybe it's your friend, maybe some kind of psychologist you're seeing or whatever, and I don't even want to know about that. Listen to me. When they start giving you counsel that goes against this book, you're in trouble. And you know how you start lapping up that counsel that goes against that book like a cat lapping up milk? You know how you do that? You cross the first barrier first. Listen, the first barrier is I don't pay attention to the warning. The lighthouse is going around and it's going around and it's saying there's rocks here, there's danger here, and I just keep going, just full steam ahead. And once I get my mind set on doing that, then you know what I'm going to do? If I'm rejecting godly counsel, if I'm rejecting godly preaching, now I'm going to start opening up to stuff that ain't godly. Right. It's wrong. It's against this book. But because I've already got it in my heart, I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. I'm more susceptible to it. I'm more open to it. I'm becoming more of a free thinker. You know what you are when you're a free thinker? You're thinking like the rest of these bunch out here that don't have any reference to the way they live and the way they think and the way they look at things according to God's word. You're heading for a shipwreck when you start doing that. Do you understand me? You're heading for a shipwreck of your life. Your family's going to splinter. Your marriage is going to bust up. You're going to ruin yourself. You're going to be out of church. You're going to be backslid. You're going to be a shell of a man because you ignored his warning. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. You don't take this voyage. You don't do it. And he said, well, I ain't going to listen to you, but I'll tell you what, not only am I not going to listen to you, God, and listen to what you're telling me to do, God, I'm going to listen to some of these other yahoos out here that don't know nothing. I'm going to do what they say. Right. You're heading for a shipwreck. Yeah. And then you get to point number three. Why did they adhere to this ungodly counsel? You got to get this. This is important. They did it because they wanted to take the easy way out. There's no shortcuts with God. When you and I begin to try to look for the easy way out, we're going to shipwreck our life. Notice this passage here in verse number 12. You got to get a hold of this thing here. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in. Now I want you to notice two words I just read to you. Haven and commodious. Now that word haven means harbor. And that word commodious means roomy or spacious. Now, you know what the problem was? They did not like the harbor they were in where that ship was because it wasn't as spacious as they wanted it. It wasn't as much room as they wanted it. They wanted to get out of that harbor because they wanted more space and more room and more comfort. They wanted to be easier. They wanted to go somewhere where there's more room and more space and more comfort. Are you getting it? They wanted the easy way out. They did not want to suffer. They did not want to be discomforted. Listen to me, everybody. The path of least resistance is usually the path of the world. The path of least resistance is usually the path of the world. Don't quit on God because it's difficult. People drop out of church. They quit reading their Bible. They get out of their prayer closet. They stop witnessing. They stop giving. You know why? Because it's easier to do that. It's going to be tough. Listen. It's going to be tough to take a stand for God in this world and to live for the Lord. How many of you know that? But how many of you also know it's worth it? It is worth it. But you know, notice the path that they're going down when this ship's going to run aground and break into 1,000 pieces, and they're going to drift up on shore and be there with a bunch of barbarians. Notice the path they're going down. They've been warned. They don't hear it. Now that they've rejected good advice, they're starting to take bad advice. And why are they prone now, since they failed to heed the warning of God, to take bad advice? Because, listen to me. The advice they're getting from the world is much easier to deal with. Go with the flow, baby. Don't resist this. Just go downstream. Don't try to paddle upstream. That's too hard. Just put your paddle in the boat and let it take you where it takes you. Go where it's more comfortable. Go to the church of your choice. Why do you want to go to Holy Hills? You know about every other Sunday, Brother Dennis is going to get up there, some kind of tangent, and there he goes. Why don't you go down the road down there where you won't never have a preacher say anything to you like that? Yeah, you know you like that rock music. Go on down there to a church. It's much easier. I mean, you just be another face in the crowd anyway, and you like rock music anyway. What's better than putting Christian lyrics to rock music? I understand where you're coming from. My flesh likes rock music too. I think it might be an awesome concert to have some headbangers up there saying, "Praise the Lord."
Amen.
That's what your flesh wants. It says, go the easy way. Go the easy way. Make the easy decisions. Go with how everybody else is going. Don't resist. You mess up things in your family, see? They might drop you out of the inheritance. Your mom and daddy will, you know, and mess up Thanksgiving real bad. That's what it's like. And you begin to think that once I just blowed off the preacher and blowed off Sunday school and blowed off the Bible and blowed off the Holy Spirit, I ain't listening to what they say. Matter of fact, I'm going to listen to this other counsel over here because it's much easier for me to do. So since it's easier, it must be the right thing to do. You know what you do? You're thinking yourself into a shipwreck. You quit using the wisdom of God. You quit looking at what God says about it, and you're trying to figure it out, and you think you're smart. You know what you're going to do? You're going to bust your family up. You're going to bust your marriage up. You're going to be out there in the world, shipwrecked, run aground, trying to think this thing out instead of letting God think it out for you. Using the wisdom of the world, messing your whole life up. I'm not getting animated and red and raising my voice because I'm trying to hurt you. I'm trying to warn you.
Amen. Come on, bro.
And you know what I'll do? I promise you this is what I'll do. If you wreck your ship and you call me in the middle of the night, or you make an appointment for me to come to your home, or you to meet me in that office, I won't get on to you. They're getting on to us right now. I won't jump on you. Just now, I'll cry with you. I won't bring it up in your face. I'll never say, "I told you so." That ain't time for that. I'll be with you to help pick up the broken pieces. I'll mourn with you. I'll be sad with you. Before we ever get there, though, I'm going to confront you with it. I'm not trying to confront you with it and make you feel uncomfortable, although if it does make you feel uncomfortable, maybe you do need to feel uncomfortable. Nobody needs to feel comfortable with sin. I'm trying to stop it. You know what I'm trying to do this morning, Brother Martin? I'm not like the lighthouse, but maybe, you know, let your light so shine before men. Christ lives within me. I'm shining the light out. I'm trying to be a little bitty lighthouse. I'm not the lighthouse, but I'm trying to be a little bitty lighthouse this morning. I'm just trying to go around this sanctuary. I'm trying my best to warn you. I'm trying my best to cry out and say, you're going to run it aground. You don't see it. You don't know it. But I see it. You're going to run it aground. You're going to have a shipwreck, and you're going to lose. And I'm trying to tell you. And all you hear is that advice out there. And the cool preacher, he would never talk like that. And who gives him the right? Who gives him the right to get up there and tell us, "You're exactly right"? Some of you know this stuff better than I do. I'm just here to help you today. And some of you, you're on your way to completely ruining yourself. I don't want to meet you in the office for us to try to fix it together. I don't mind doing that, but listen, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's why I'm preaching to you about this morning. If you've wrecked your ship, come back tonight. We'll get some hope. We'll get some salve. I'm trying to keep you from wrecking it. And then notice how the thing progresses. They sided with the majority. Verse number 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, listen, the more part advised to depart thence also. The majority rules. The majority decided, this is what we ought to do. I may lose some of you here, but I'm going to preach this anyway. Listen, the majority may win when it comes to an election, but not necessarily when discerning the God's will. I said the majority may win when it comes to winning an election, but not necessarily when discerning God's will. Do you realize this morning that there's more people going to hell than there are heaven? The majority of the people are going to hell than going straight to hell rather than heaven. Listen to me. The majority of Christians ain't worth the gunpowder it takes to blow them up. The majority of the body of Christ is shot. That's why I believe only on the big things are we going to have business meetings. The more business meetings you have, on the small things, you can get in trouble. You say, why can you get in trouble? Because, listen, think about this. The majority rules in business meetings, and I'm not arguing against that. I think that's the way it should be. But you know what the problem is with the average business meeting when we have it? Really, I just want you to think, not get mad, just think about this. You have unspiritual people trying to make spiritual decisions, and then we go with the majority. You come into the average business meeting, and especially if it's something big, there's 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 folks that show up that ain't been to church in 3 months. Show up to vote on something. How in God's heaven can you think that's right? You ain't had enough God about you to get you behind here in 3 months. You're going to show up and vote on something? That's what's going on in these Baptist churches. People that are unspiritual deciding things that what the church is going to do with their money and how they're going to have ministry. That's the problem. Listen to me. The majority of people in church and out of church are wrong. Don't you dare stand up with the majority of preachers do this, and the majority of churches do this, and the way most people act, that's not how you do it. God's always worked with a minority. Gideon's army, he narrowed that thing down to 300, didn't he? Just a small part of what began. Those 10 lepers Christ cleansed. What happens? One of them, 1 out of 10 turns back and gives glory to God. You know what that matches? That matches the church. Three things all those lepers had. They all had the same problem. They all had the same plea. And they all got the same cleansing. Do you realize that? They all had the same problem. They all had leprosy. They all cried out to God, and God cleaned every one of them. You know what that is? That's saved people. That's saved people. We all have a sin problem. All of us that get saved cry out to God, and He saved us all. We're all saved. But then when you go further in that story, only one of that 10 that was cleansed from the leprosy, only one turned back to give God the glory. That's Laodicea if you've ever seen it. That's Laodicea Christianity if you've ever seen it. You can't trust some of your Facebook pals and things about the Bible. You can't trust this crowd that's doing things. Listen, I'm not saying we're the only way and we're the only one that's got the truth. I'm not telling you that. But listen, you better be very careful about getting with the majority. Well, they love the Lord, and they may love the Lord. They may be saved. They may be dead wrong about most things. You know what got these people in trouble? The majority is doing it. The majority is going that way. This is where most people are thinking now. This is how most people have changed. That old-fashioned way of just opening up this book and preaching, it don't get the job done anymore. Just singing out of the hymn book, that don't get the job done anymore. Don't you know the majority of the churches around here has done put that away? Majority of the church right here, they would never let you preach in it. Don't you know we need to be pulling the screen down and getting the bubble dancing across there so we can shake our butts at the same time we praise Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Go with a majority. See how that finds you at the judgment seat of Christ. See how it finds you at the judgment seat of Christ. They're sure enough heading for a shipwreck by this time, ain't they? We're not gonna take the advice. Not only are we not gonna take godly advice, we're gonna adhere to ungodly counsel, and we're gonna do it because it's much easier to do that. And now, listen, this solidifies our decision because the majority of the people want to sail. The majority of the people are saying, pull out, pull out, pull out. Yes, but the man of God said that God told them not to. God told you not to, but everybody else says pull out. So let's pull out together. Keep going. And finally, before they wreck, they get to the one last awful final statement. They presume that they're going to get away with it. They presume they've gotten away with it. They've gotten away with their bad choice. Verse number 13. When the south wind blew softly. See, everything's starting to calm down a little bit. Blowing softly. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose. They supposed. We're going to be all right, man. It's all right. It's all right. Fist bump. Peace out. We're going to make it. Loose and thence, they sailed close by Crete. Notice the very first few words of that next verse. Notice the very first few words of that next verse. That's not good. But not long afterward. Do you see how quickly the thing turned upside down? The south wind is just blowing. I picture, you know, on a Hawaiian island, they're just deer, 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 deer. And all of a sudden, Brother Billy, hell from beneath comes up out of the sky. It gets dark. The wind gets to blowing. It don't take long to do it, brother. Just that quick from deer, 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 deer to let's get in the shelter. Oh, we're on the boat. We ain't got a tornado shelter. It says, not long afterward. You know what's going to happen to some of you? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to help you. You know what's going to happen to some of you? You're going along there, you're thinking, I did it. I did it. I did it my way. I wanted to go. I know what that preacher said. I know what that book said. I know what the Holy Spirit said. I know what my conscience said. I did it my way. Listen, the majority's doing it. Look how we're sailing so smoothly. Everything's going good. And one day, not long afterwards, all hell is going to break loose in your life. And a dark, ominous cloud. And the wind's going to blow, and the lightning's going to strike, and the rain's going to pour so hard you can't see. And you're out. And you're out. And listen, when the storm starts, you are going to run aground. You're going to wreck. You're going to wreck. And all you'll be able to do then is just try to pick up the pieces. Someday a wind is going to come along, church, and tear your playhouse down. And it's going to quickly get out of control. It got to the point in this passage, listen, folks, they didn't even have control of the ship anymore. It says in verse number 15, when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Y'all make fun of me about Darby driving me around. That's scriptural. See, she's like that storm. And so I just let her drive. See? No, I'm being facetious. You know what that meant, we let her drive? They let her drive because they couldn't drive it no more. That's what it meant. It said we let her drive. It's like this thing's out of our control. Get it. Get it, church. Get it. You know, in the final stages before this thing is going to go on and wreck, they realize I am no longer in control. I am no longer in control. The thing is going to wreck. I've waited too long. We've just got to sit back and see what happens. We're going to let her drive. You notice what it says there? Just a few more. We're going to get ready to close here in a moment. It says, when they had taken up, they used helps, verse number 17, undergirding the ship. They're trying to tie ropes and chains that goes up under and around the hull and up. They're trying to keep the hull from cracking up and breaking apart. They're trying to hold the thing together. But listen, when God wants to sink your ship, brother, you're not going to hold it together. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand and straight sail, so we're driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighten the ship. They're throwing stuff out of the ship. Notice verse number 20. The sun or the stars in many days appeared. They didn't see the sun or the stars. It was so dark for many days. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You're going to go from a place of great confidence to a loss of hope right before you run your ship aground. And again, as I'm going to get ready to close this morning, again, to me, that bothers me the most about this story is every bit of it could have been avoided. Just listen to what God was telling them, it could have been avoided. And you know what the terrible thing about this morning is? Some of you is going to go right out of here. You're going to wreck your ship. And it could be avoided. Now, the good news about this wreck is that everybody on the ship survived. So if you're saved, hallelujah, it ain't going to influence your salvation. But it did cost them dearly. The ship was destroyed. The cargo was gone. Think about the emotional stress they went through. Let me ask you this. What warning have you been ignoring this morning, church? What warning have you been ignoring? What kind of counsel have you been listening to while at the same time you're just forfeiting God's counsel? Just, I don't want to hear it. Have you quit doing right? Has somebody in here quit doing right because it's much easier to do wrong? Do you think you're not going to wreck because everything seems to be calm down and fine right now? You got it figured out. You think, I ain't going to wreck. See, everything's calm back down. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you something here this morning. You had better listen to me. You're heading for a shipwreck. You'd better start looking for that lighthouse. You better start looking for that lighthouse. You're fixing to run aground. The ship's about to wreck. It's going to come apart, and you're going to lose everything. And God help you just to do the right thing this morning. Let's pray. Every head bowed and eye closed.